Thank you.
Wow. I was so nervous when before I came here. I was in Prince Albert. I didn't even know what to wear. You know, I was looking at my sweats and I was wondering if I should wear that or my sports, my shorts for volleyball or a suit for my when I do weddings, and I just didn't know what to wear. And so I says, "Oh, I'll just wear what I wear when I'm at my own church." In fact, Mike, he told me, he says, "Wear what you wear at your own church." He says, "Just wear that." And I said, "Okay, that's what I'll wear." I says, "Can I just wear a native outfit with a bonnet and everything? Would that be better?" So I wasn't too sure what to wear, but I ended up this morning, my wife says, "Look in the mirror." And I says, "Look in the mirror." So I look in the mirror, and on my shirt, I have a bleach stain. And I was like, "Oh, man." But I think of Matthew 6 when it tells you not to worry, right? Not to worry what you're wearing. And so, you know, the main thing is you're following Christ, and that's the main thing. And so, you know, it doesn't matter what you wear. Look at what was his name there? Where he wore the outfit there, and John the Baptist. Look at what he wore. So imagine him coming here to your church and wearing that. But anyway, first I want to thank Rosetta. Thank you so much. Rosetta, she welcomed us into her home, fed us, and gave us a bed, and made it so comfortable for us to stay. Thank you, Rosetta. We really appreciate your hospitality. And just want to let you know, I went to my first Swift Current hockey game. And when I went there, I tell you something, that is a noisy place. I thought the ringing in my ears, you know, I think it's the bells that are still there because there's a lot of bells. And I'd like to thank George for bringing me there. And we sat there and we just, every time Swift Current scored, we were up running. And then when every time they make a mistake, we were like, "Oh, what are they doing?" Oh man, it was a good game, and it could have went either way, but thank the Lord that Swift Current prevailed. I felt good because I felt I had a lot to do with it. I was the good luck charm there. But it was an awesome feeling. But anyway, let's get to it. I just want to let you know, if you're often wondering what's your support, how your support is being dealt with in our church, I want to let you know, 3 years ago, we made a seamless link agreement with your church. And this is a church that was ready to close its doors. And you know what? When I heard about that, I don't like churches closing. I disagree with that. And so the Lord, he heard that in me, and he had me called to go to Prince Albert, to New Life Indian Alliance Church. I actually changed the name to New Life Fellowship because it's open to every race, not just First Nations. We get a lot of First Nations and we cater to First Nations, but the point is we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen to that? And so I changed the sign, and it was a good thing because we have other races that do come in, and I really appreciate that. There's still others that I would like to see them come, but it's been a blessing. So if you're wondering the money that you put into the support for us or to your church for us to support us, it's been used very well. And we had a little bit of bump on the road. We had a struggle with our books. You know, but the bookkeeper needed more experience, and so we had a little bit of fallback. But now we have a new bookkeeper in place, and she is wonderful. She's just amazing. We just want to hug her all the time because she's just made our books just so that they're level. But the point is, we're back on track. And I just wanted to share with you all the successes that the support that you're putting into New Life through a PowerPoint that I have arranged. It's from the beginning of that church when it first started. So some of you can't make it there. So we want to show you our church, that our relationship that we have with you. So I just want to, we'll just show a PowerPoint, and then you'll see how that money's been put together. So I want to thank you. That's where your dollars are going. It's making this church work. And like I said, there's a lot of the believers that are coming, they're new believers, which is what we want. I prayed for ones that are around 30 to 50 years old, because I know they're the ones that really, I feel, need help. And so they're coming. And my goal for this year is to get up to 50 to 55. So we're going to do them in segments. So they're coming, and they're interested in Jesus. And that's the main thing. That's the main reason for this church. And he has his hand on it. I just want to start, I've had many heroes in my life. Have you guys had heroes in your life? I know I have. All through my life, I've had heroes. I have many people in my life that have come to my aid and helped me in many circumstances. I have had people come to feed me when I was hungry. I've had people give me clothes when I needed it. I had people put me up when I had no home to live in. And I've had people hire me when I needed a job. I even had people bring me to the hospital when I was injured or sick. The one thing that stuck out for me when I needed help is when I hit rock bottom and my addictions overtook me because of my life, of my abused path, by a man who took my dignity and childhood innocence. If it wasn't for men who had a love for the Creator, I would not have had a chance to live a life free from my past. I would have been 6 feet under. I was that man that was on the side of the road, and along came my heroes. You know where this story is going. This story I enjoyed that reflects my story is the Good Samaritan parable story told by Jesus in Luke 10, 25 to 37. I'd like to share that story because, you know, it kind of helps understand what a hero is. I've had heroes all through my life. My mom, my uncle, my first uncle, he helped. My mom used to abuse me as a child. And one day, my uncle, who's passed on now, rescued me, took me out of that environment. I had a grandma that raised me most of my life. She's my hero. I had an uncle that told me, you stay in school. When you go to school, you stay in there and you finish. Today, I got a social work degree and I got a pastoral degree. Because of him, he is my hero. They're my good Samaritans. My mom, we made amends before her death, and we worked things out. She was a good Samaritan. See, people would come and they needed a place to stay. She wouldn't hesitate and says, there's room. I'll feed you. I'll make a bed for you. And if there was a lot of them, she says, there's a lot of floor space. You know, that's the way she was. So let's get into this in Luke 11, or 10, I said 10, but it is in 11. I think, no, it's in 10, sorry. I'm nervous, so bear with me. I wasn't too sure which Bible to use, so I'm going to use, it's called the NIV. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? And I was just thinking of that. And this teacher was in the New King James Version, they call him a lawyer. He's not that kind of a lawyer who goes to court with us for a traffic ticket or to bail someone out of jail. This lawyer is an expert of the Old Testament law, in particular the law of Moses, which is contained in the first five books of the Bible. We might say that this person is an Old Testament scholar, specializing in the law of Moses. The term lawyer is not used very frequently in the Bible. So this is who this person was. He was a scholar. He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." You know, Jesus was always tested. And this was one of those occasions where he was being tested. Jesus said to him, "You have answered correctly." I was just wondering, can I get a glass of water? I'm dry. Jesus replied, "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" He wasn't satisfied. He just had to keep prying. In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. When he saw the man, he passed by onto the other side." And it was interesting that this priest just went to the other side. Didn't want to have nothing to do with this guy. A priest. They're probably the same type of race. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him pass by on the other side, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring out oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave him to the innkeeper. It was interesting that, that the Samaritan was the one that actually stopped. The Samaritans were despised by Jews because they were known to be as half-breeds and half-Gentile. When the northern kingdoms were taken captive by the Assyrians, they intermarried with them to settle in the place that is called Samaria, just north of Judea. The Jewish people felt that the Samaritans were unclean people. This is precisely why Jesus mentioned that the Samaritan in this parable, because he could be the least likely to ever help a fellow Jew. Because the Samaritan also had a hate that was equal to that held by the Jews against the Jewish people because of the way they were treated by them. It's interesting that this is a good Samaritan. And, sometimes you think even non-believers are like that. There's a lot of non-believers out there. I would always say they would make a good Christian. Am I right? But some of them said, no, I don't want any of that Bible stuff. No, thank you. But you know what? They really set a good example of a Christian because they help. I'm totally amazed. So a lot of times when that happens, I pray for them. I was thinking, did you know that 80% of the people that won the millions of dollars on the 649 and that, a lot of them are non-Christians, but very hard workers, and they give of their life. They'll give off their shirts off their back. Because I always wondered, how do we win $1 million? Oh, how I would, Lord, use $1 million to help build your ministry. But I did a bit of research, and I found a lot of them were very good Samaritans. Isn't that interesting? Man, I'm going to do a little more research on it, but what I want to do is research how we can get them into churches, because they're wonderful people. Don't get me wrong, there's probably lots of people in here that are the same way. Let me carry on. Oh, they said 2 silver coins, back in that day, that was like 2 days' work, and that was for good for 2 months at an inn. Isn't that something? And gave them to the innkeeper, looked after him. He said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for an extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert of the law replied, to one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. You know, it's interesting that the Samaritan was that way. He's the guy, he went right up to him, cleaned and bandaged his wounds, poured oil and wine on them for medical purposes. And you know, wine and oil was worth a lot of money back then. But he chose to use that and use his own expense. The oil may have represented the work of the Holy Spirit, and the wine may have symbolized the shed of blood, although Jesus never clarifies this meaning. Then the Samaritan, he puts the man on his own animal, which means that the Samaritan had to walk some distance and then put the man in an inn. From those distances, I think from Jerusalem to Jericho was probably 17 miles. So he takes him to the inn, pays for the room and board, tells the innkeeper to take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. He would repay what other extra costs there were. So who was the neighbor in this parable? Who is it? Our neighbor doesn't mean our next door neighbor. It could mean the stranger you give a helping hand to, the person you give an encouraging word to, the one who hates you should be the one you pray for. Jesus fulfills the law by saying that not only should we love our enemies like the Samaritan did, but to go as far as to pray for him. When was the last time you prayed for someone that you hated, despised you, and wanted to do harm to you? That is what Jesus expects of those who are his own. Those who are Jesus' enemies, he desires that they won't repent and trust in him. It was pretty unnervy when I went to the hockey game because, you know, I was there, and I went there, and George dropped me off, and I went inside there, and everybody was looking at me, and they thought maybe I was at the wrong reserve. And so when I was there, I just minded my own business and went to my seat. But I was a stranger. You know, I am a stranger, and I understand that, you know, because everyone knows everybody, basically. Back home, everybody knows everybody. So when someone comes into town, we go, who is this guy? You know, what is he doing in my town? I brought a teen I think it was on the week, on Thursday, I brought him to a gala in Saskatoon for Teen Challenge. And I wore a black casual shirt with the jeans. And he wore a skull shirt with a hat backwards with a cigarette on top. 26-year-old guy. I wanted him to learn about what it was like to go to Teen Challenge. We go to the door with my tickets in my pocket. And the guy looks at me, looks up and down at me. Everybody was almost wearing suits. I tell you, I was a stranger. He was a stranger. They probably thought we were at the wrong place. But when I pulled out my ticket, I was like, hey, I'm having steak tonight, buddy. You're feeding me. So we sat, we found our table. They brought us to our table. We sat down. They even brought our food to us. Hon, you should have came so you learned about that. But it was cool because we sat there, and my friend that I wanted to be a part of Teen Challenge as a student, he had an alumni sitting right beside him, a hero, a complete stranger, filled his heart, telling them about Jesus, telling them how much that Jesus had changed his life. He was a broken man. He was filled with addictions and drugs, and Jesus came along and saved him. Literally saved his life. And you know what? That's exactly what I needed for him. I was praying before I got there that someone would come in his life to help him understand that he needed to change his life, because there's a lot of people that want him to change. So that guy planted a seed. There was testimonies, and everybody shared about how much God has changed their life. I love Teen Challenge, what it's done for people. So that brings me to this conclusion. Your church and other churches that support our churches like that Good Samaritan. New Life Fellowship was that church that was in the side of the road, that was torn and beaten, and its last chance to be a church again to Native people. You help New Life to be strong again. You help put it back on its feet. Many have no interest in helping that church become what it was, and you and another church have decided to be that Good Samaritan to bring life to it. God works in your hearts. If you don't think so, he has. So anytime you give to your church, they're fine. They know how to manage your money, because it's for God, not for them, not for pastors like me or your pastor. It's for God. We've been actively going on for close to 3 years. Two of those years I've been preaching. I have to dress like them. I have to preach in a word that is plain English. No big words. Because they'll test me. They'll challenge me. What did you say? What was that word again? So I better make sure I have a definition for that word. We average about 30 to 35 that come. And a good day, we'll get 40. And you know what? God is good. I love him so much. Sometimes I disappoint him with my disobedience, but you know what? He gives me a good spanking, I tell you. That's what I love about him. I let him take control. Because you know what? He is our Samaritan. He is the Good Samaritan. He was like that man that was in the roadside. He was beaten. He was called down. He was disliked by many. He is our God. So I want you to, you know, give yourself a big hand for helping our church. Come on, give yourself a big hand. Thank you so much for your support. You've gone over and above. I told PA Alliance when I went up to go and have at their board meeting, and they were going to give me some more money, and I says, I wept. I says, you guys do over and above. They do. They're a brother church. They, anytime we need help, they're always there. It's hard for me to take a hand out. But you know what? God is good. Thank you. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much just for your love, because we know you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and you are the great I Am, and you are the Good Samaritan in our lives, and you are our guiding light. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you for our partnership here with this beautiful church, Trailview. Thank you for their relationship with us. I just pray, Father, that we'll always be brothers and also sisters in Christ. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to share your word, to use me as your vessel. And we all love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.